We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Andy, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're great. Are you in position right now to write down our final four picks? Are you driving? What's happening
can I,
here?
Can I ask him something, why he's not here with us today?
You can.
Yeah. Why aren't you here
with us today? What happened, Andy?
You know, we really didn't want you. We didn't want you because we wanted you to be playing in this tournament. Oh. But now that you didn't make it, you stiffed us. Why?
Filippone got
me
first.
We made you who you are last year.
Oh wow, we're taking full credit for this, Ron. This is transfer portal season, guys. I'm not sure. in the old days, in the beginning of my coaching career, there was no better time to be a college basketball coach than the spring. Now it is complete chaos, and so since this transfer portal has opened, it has been like a run on the banks with just names flooding in everywhere at all times, trying to do research on guys, trying to get on the phone with guys. So we had a couple recruiting things that we're doing this morning that unfortunately didn't allow me to be down there with you guys in person.
I'm always going to say we made you who you are. No doubt, Joe. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I think. Last year, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that went really well. Andy, are you in position to take these final fours down, or in your brain at least, and judge them?
I'm ready.
All right, we're going to do this blindly. Then you tell us which one of these makes the most sense to you. One person here has Arizona, Duke, Houston, and TCU, with Houston over Duke in the final.
Okay.
Another person has Alabama, Duke, Texas, and UCLA, with Texas over Alabama in the final.
Okay.
Another person went off the board a little bit. Creighton, Memphis, Houston, UCLA, with UCLA over Memphis. Who's the winner here, Andy?
Whoever that third person is has got no chance.
We're
going to throw that out. We're going to throw that
Thank
out
you.
Initially.
The third person has no chance.
Oh, no chance, he said.
No chance.
All right.
No chance.
You know what?
No chance.
Andy, it's no fun picking Duke. I'm sorry. It's no fun picking Duke.
I
had to pick somebody different. Now, Creighton is a reach. I know. I get it.
Creighton's going to give Arizona trouble in the Sweet 16 because they actually have the size that can match up with Arizona in a lot of aspects. But I do think that Arizona will prevail in that game. But I'm not sure I like anybody's Final Four that I've heard yet, including my own, because I just think there's so much inconsistency in even the play of the best team, just kind of like how we had, you know, so many different number ones during the course of the season. I mean, we didn't have teams that could hold on to number one for multiple weeks in a row. It seemed as soon as somebody became number one, they lost their next game or the following game after that. And, you know, so I think this is a really hard year to kind of figure out who's going to get hot at the right time.
All right, I got two things then. Which one of the first two that you heard do you like best? And then give us your final four.
I would say the Bama, Duke, Texas, UCLA is a little more reasonable. I think Bama on paper is the best team in the country, the way they play in the SEC tournament. I know sometimes that doesn't always translate, but I do think, you know, in the second round, them having Maryland or West Virginia, then UVA, and then, you know, possibly Arizona or Creighton, I think they have the best path to get there. I think that the West, I guess it would be with Kansas and UConn and UCLA, I think that's the hardest bracket. You know, you could have a Kansas Illinois second round game or a Kansas Arkansas second round game. That's a really good second round game. TCU, Gonzaga, second round game. I have my final four is Alabama, is Gonzaga, because finally people are not talking about Gonzaga, so they might actually be able to just worry about playing basketball. And then I have Houston and I have Purdue. I think Sasser will be back for Houston at relatively full strength, especially by the time they get to the Sweet 16. And they are, you know, analytically speaking, probably, you know, the best team in the country in terms of defense, offense, in line with some of the other champions of the past. And then I don't think anybody can stop Zach Edey. I think he's going to get, I think he's going to do amazing things for Purdue. And I think they're going to become your eventual national champion.
How about the Fighting Jamie Dixons? I love the way he plays. I can't believe, I don't know if you can, that after watching him play such a systematic style here for so many years, that they lead statistically all of college basketball in fast break points. They're like a modern version of Loyola Marymount, as close as you can get anyway these days. It's unbelievable watching them play. What do you think of their chances?
Well, I mean, I think they have the thing that's unique about them is they have such versatility in their defense, and that leads to a lot of their offense. They can switch 1 through 4. They can disrupt people's ball screen game. I do think that in the second round they're going to play Gonzaga, and Gonzaga is going to do a good job of exploiting those switches and being able to post Timmy with some size advantage. But I've enjoyed watching Jamie's team, and that's why he's a good coach, right? He takes whatever he has available to him, and he figures out a way to maximize it, like he did when he was here with Pitt, and now like he's doing at TCU.
Andy, you mentioned good coaches adjust. Another good coach is Bill Self. I guess he's not coaching Kansas again today, or at least early on in this tournament. How much of a loss is that for them?
You know, they have a really seasoned staff. Obviously, everyone talks about Norm Roberts and, you know, his experience as a head coach at St. John's. Joe Dooley, who's also on his staff, has been a head coach at a couple different spots, most recently East Carolina. But, you know, there's certainly you know, some loss, and there'll be a little bit of a, you know, potential, you know, knowledge or brain power that Coach Self has. But I think early on they'll be fine. And I think the hope is that he just gets as healthy as he can be so that he can be a part of, you know, some of these later rounds. Cause this is, you know, it's scary. I mean, when you look at the number of games he's coached and the amount of stress that he has on him, you know, to have some of the blockages that they've reported, this is probably until you're perfectly confident that you're going to be able to go out there and do what you do, it's probably not smart to be on the sidelines in NCAA tournament games if you're worried about some heart issues.
Andy Toole, Robert Morris coach, he's on the Nemacolin fan hotline right now. All right, Andy, I won't pretend that I've seen a ton of Iowa State, but it seems to me, just based on numbers and scouting reports and things, that it'll be a similar challenge for Pitt that Mississippi State was, a really good defensive sort of rugged drag-you-through-the-mud team. And if they can survive that, then things would likely open up a lot if you're going against Xavier, who scores in the 80s. How do you size up the Pitt-Iowa State game, and should Pitt advance, maybe a Pitt-Xavier game, if Xavier advances?
I think Iowa State is a similar team, as you said, to Mississippi State, and I thought they did an unbelievable job in that Mississippi State game of, as they have all year, of kind of controlling the game. I think their guard play, Pitt's guard play, with Nelly and Jamarcus Burton, I think they do a great job of being able to control the games and play at their pace. And I think they did that all year long. I mean, I think you go back, you know, to the Virginia game that they won out of nowhere, and even, you know, at Carolina, you know, they just have a way of continuing to stay poised and continuing to execute their plan. So I don't think they're going to be completely disrupted by what Iowa State does and what they bring to the table. You know, I think obviously Mississippi State's inability to shoot the ball at all played a huge factor in that game. You know, they made some threes early in the game and then weren't able to continue to shoot it at any kind of pace as they had all year. And Iowa State's not great either, 6.5 threes made per game. So I think a similar defensive effort from them could certainly be very effective. And then I just have great faith in their guard play, and I think they have a really good chance to advance and continue moving on.
Andy, how about Penn State? Got hot at the end of the year, went all the way to the Big Ten championship game. Texas A&M in the first game, and then Texas looms. You like Penn State? What do you like about them?
I think Texas, and again, you talk about guard play, right? Jalen Pickett, second-team All-American or whatever he was. Him and Cam Winter had great years for them. You know, I think they'll beat Texas A&M. I think Texas A&M you know, they came in second in the SEC, and you know, everybody talks about, you know, last year them getting you know, left out of the tournament, and Buzz Williams went on his rant and all those kind of things. I don't know if they're as good as people think. I think Penn State will win that, but then I think Texas will be too much for them, and they'll be out in the second round.
I'm looking up and down my bracket here, Andy. Tell us a little more about Houston. I mean, a lot of people, you talked about other teams being good offense and defense. I think they're top 10 or close to it in field goal percentage defense and in offensive efficiency. They've got an elite scorer. What's going to prevent them from getting to even the championship?
Yeah, I don't think much, and I have them in the championship. I mean, obviously all these games can, you know, strange things can happen, but I think when you look at the way they're constructed on paper, the way that they defend, even if they're not scoring the ball at a high rate, is elite. The way that they rebound the ball is incredible. And I think they have experience, tournament experience, right? This is now going to be the second, third year that they've been, you know, looking to make a deep tournament run. You know, the Final Four is in Houston, so it would be a return to their hometown if they can get there. I don't think much stands in their way. I mean, you look at Auburn in the second round, potentially Indiana or Miami. I don't know if either of those two teams are constructed to be able to play in the kind of grind that Houston can put you in for 40 minutes. And I think that, you know, seeing they'll probably see Texas in the Elite Eight, and that will be, I think, an absolute classic of a game, but I think Houston will prevail.
Andy, we haven't talked about West Virginia. They're down two at the half. They were way up, and then Maryland made a run. 32-30 at the half, Maryland. Do you like West Virginia's chances in this game? And then I want to ask you something about Bob Huggins as well.
I like their chances, obviously, but my fear is just they've been inconsistent a lot of the year. They've been up, they've been down. You know, they've been, you know, obviously played in an absolute gauntlet of the Big 12, but I don't know if they have enough consistency from a scoring perspective to be able to kind of make a run. And unfortunately, if they get past Maryland, they got Alabama staring them in the face in the second round, which, you know, I think is a little too much for them to handle.
Do you think Huggins keeps going?
I do.
We had him on last week, or just a couple days ago, actually, and said he doesn't feel old. He still feels young with these kids, still likes getting up every morning. You know, I always wonder with the transfer portal and everything else if it's still as much fun for him. He seems to like this team.
Yeah, and I think that can really rejuvenate you. And I think if you probably asked him the question 12 months ago, he might have had a different answer. But I think this team has gotten better as the year's gone on. You know, obviously, again, the level of the opponent they were playing in the Big 12 was crazy. And I think he wants to make sure that when he walks away that he believes that the program is on great footing to be able to continue to thrive. And I don't think he feels they're fully there yet. I think they made a step in the right direction this year. And I think he probably feels like, hey, if we can add a couple more pieces from the transfer portal or through recruiting, then, you know, we can have a chance to really go compete. And I'm sure he'd want to do that one more time before he says he's done.
Andy, Jim Boeheim has, I don't know how you would characterize it. Let's just say he's no longer coaching Syracuse. I'm wondering if you had interactions with him, your opinion of him. And as an addendum to that question, how did he keep doing it all those years with the 2-3 zone? People act like he never won anymore. This guy went to the Sweet 16, I think, 2 years ago playing that defense.
Yeah, and I have had limited interactions with him. We played at Syracuse a couple times when I was an assistant, but limited interaction with him. You know, the things that I just think about are, you know, being a 7-8-year-old kid and watching him and John Thompson play on CBS on a Sunday afternoon and, you know, saying, who's this whiny guy on the sidelines who seems to be, you know, complaining about everything. So that was kind of some of my first memories of college basketball. But, you know, credit him to not only the success he had, but the longevity he had. I mean, to think about, you know, the length of time that you do this. And I just finished my 13th year as a head coach, and sometimes they feel like dog years. So to be able to be doing it for a 40-year stretch at the same place at a high level is almost hard for me to understand or imagine. And, you know, as much as they would, you watch them sometimes and, you know, they seem completely frustrating, they always seem to figure it out when they needed to, right? And whether it was, you know, the Sweet 16 run, the Final Four, you know, maybe you know, less than a decade ago, where people were worrying, were they even going to get in the tournament? And then all of a sudden they're sitting there in the Final Four. And I think that's part of the genius of Jim Boeheim and, you know, why he is able to be so successful over so long.
How do they not solve that zone over all these years? Did he just keep, like, making adds to it to make it tougher to play against? Did teams not see it enough and weren't prepared for it? How do you survive that long with that?
So initially he was a man guy way, you know, maybe in the 80s and early 90s, he was a man guy. And then the zone kind of took shape in the early 90s. And I think when they were in the national championship game in 96, they were playing zone full time then. But you, the length that they have, first of all, is unique, right? When that zone is at its best, it's completely different than anything you could see from a size perspective. My senior year of college, we played in Boston and they played before us. And if we would have won the game, we would have played Syracuse. And they had Carmelo. It was the year they won the national championship. And they had Carmelo Anthony on the back line. They had Jerry McNeil in the middle of the zone. They had Quest Dwayne at the top of the zone. I mean, everybody was – Hakeem Warwick was on the other side. I mean, we were sitting in the baseline of the I guess it was the Fleet Center at the time in Boston. And it looked like Carmelo and McNeil and Hakeem Warwick were all hand-to-hand, and they were covering sideline to sideline. I mean, it was just like – you can't see anything. And then once you get the ball in the zone, one of the things that's unique about it is they don't really let you get it out. So they make it hard for you to get it in, and everybody in the world says, hey, we got to get it into the paint. We got to collapse this defense. Well, the defense doesn't collapse. And so then you're kind of stuck in the middle of the floor trying to figure out how to make a play with limited vision to be able to get it out. And I think there's some uniqueness that he does. And the more people see it, obviously, the more that they had success against it. I remember hearing Coach Boeheim talk one time saying, if you had a guy – like a Nas Robinson or a Dante Cunningham from Villanova who could help you produce, you know, 40 points from that high post spot, whether you're scoring or creating opportunities for others, that was really the only kind of player that could beat that zone. You know, you see the teams that swing it and shoot a three, you know, they never seem to make enough of them. But when you had that guy that could really work the interior, that high post area, those were the guys that would give the zone trouble. There's just not enough of those dudes out there that can have that kind of poise and toughness to be able to play in the middle of it and make the right decisions.
Andy, who's the new Coach K now? A year ago at this time, it was an easy call for me. I said Jay Wright, and then he quit right after the season. Who's the dean of coaches now? Is it Bill Self?
Yeah, I mean, he certainly is. I mean, obviously winning the national championship last year, you know, that kind of put him on a different pedestal with multiple national championships. I mean, the run they've had in the Big 12 has been crazy, and I think he's the guy that you would look at. I don't know if there'll ever be another, you know, Coach K per se. I think you look at some of these guys, you know, whether it's Coach Boeheim or Coach K or Roy Williams or, you know, Tom Izzo, maybe, you know, when Izzo could probably be in that category. You know, when some of those guys leave, I just don't know if people are going to be able to have the same longevity that some of these guys have had in the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s. It's just, you know, it just is some of this game has changed, and you know, I don't think you can have some of the same consistency in your roster. I don't think you can have some of the same, you know, desire. Even Jay, I think he was 60 when he decided to walk away. You know, relatively young, you know, from a coaching perspective, but you know, just the 365, 24/7, 365 nature of college basketball now, I think it's hard to do it as long as some of these guys have done it.
Just a couple more questions for Andy Toole, kind enough to join us here, Robert Morris basketball coach. And one of those, Andy, is as I watch you, the best day of the sports calendar, I'm wondering what it was like as a player sitting there in the locker room getting ready. You mentioned you grew up watching Boeheim and Thompson. It had to have been just like a dream come true. I like to ask guys when they play in the Super Bowl the same thing. What was running through your mind when you ran on the field or when you're sitting in the locker room? Where were you for your first
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
NCAA tournament game, and what was rushing through your mind and body and heart?
I was in Pittsburgh. First time I ever came to Pittsburgh in my life when we played at Mellon Arena. And we were getting ready to play Cal Berkeley. And, you know, it was, you know, you hear that March Madness CBS intro song that, you know, you've heard for, you know, the first 18, 19, 20 years of your life, you know, thinking like, wow, this is surreal. You know, my goal as a player was to be a part of the NCAA tournament. I wanted to be a team that was a Cinderella in the NCAA tournament. That's what drove me as a player and informed my decisions on, you know, what I would do, how it would work out. And, you know, to be sitting in that locker room, having a police escort into the arena, you know, at that point in time, you know, no one, you know, you'd walk in, there was coolers full of drinks, like all these little things that didn't, now everybody has snacks in their locker room and all this stuff. But like, you know, you walk in and there's a cooler full of, you know, Powerades or Gatorades or whatever it was. I mean, we thought we were like in heaven, and, you know, you're sitting there and the arena's full and, you know, the bands are playing. I mean, it's the culmination of, you know, all the work you've done, you know, up till then to try and be a part of this tournament. And it's, you know, my college coach friend Dunf used to say all the time, the sweetest sound in the world is hearing your name called on Selection Sunday. And it's true. And, you know, all these players that are out there working every day, these coaches that are coaching every day, you know, it's to be a part of this. And I think, you know, once you're a part of it, you do everything in your power to try and be back there as often as you can be, because it's magical. It's different than any other game I've ever played in, any other event I've ever been at. And I've had the experience as a head coach, as an assistant coach, and as a player, and it never gets old. It's you know, it's something that you're just driven to try to be a part of as often as you can be. And you know, you hope that everybody else doesn't take it for granted, because when you're part of it, you truly become, you know, part of a unique fraternity.
Andy, we were hoping to hear Robert Morris called on Sunday. What the heck happened to you guys, and how encouraged are you about next year?
Ron, you and I both were hoping to hear our names called, and you know, we
you
had
probably more than me.
just a little bit. I mean, even though you made me last year, you know, and
you.
we're in this together. Even though we're in this together, probably me a little more than you. And we had a good season. We still have to continue to improve. You know, we were up 7 with a minute and a half to go at Cleveland State in our quarterfinal, and unfortunately, you know, ended up losing the game in overtime. We had some missteps down the stretch. But I'm excited about our group of guys. I'm excited about, you know, the potential for this team. We had an awesome group to coach. They were really, really responsive all year long. They were really consistent all year long, and I think that's why we improved as the year went on. And I'm excited to have another spring and summer and fall to prepare for next season and, you know, see what we can do. But I think, you know, we created some solid footing for ourselves in the Horizon League, and now the trick is, you know, to take the next jump, you know, in next year's season.
Andy, we appreciate the time. As always, we can end with free association. A couple quick questions and quick answers. Whatever pops to your mind first. Are you willing to play this game?
I am, but it could be a scary result. Just be aware of that.
That's okay. Those are the best. One active coach to draw up a play to win you a game.
Tom Izzo.
One active coach to design a defense for one game, a defensive game plan.
Kelvin Sampson.
One coach all time to get you the win to save the world.
Dean Smith.
One player in the country right now you want for your last second shot.
Brandon Miller.
One player all time for that last second shot.
Whew. All time. Jordan.
Oh, that's a good one, Ron.
That's a real good one.
I think he hit
one
of those. Best college team of all time was?
1990 UNLV.
I love that
team. Is that
team.
The one that blew out Duke by like 40?
I believe so.
Yes.
Andy, yes?
Yep. Yes.
And lastly, the greatest NCAA tournament moment of all time, in your humble opinion?
Christian Laettner. And I
From
and it
Buffalo,
hurts me
New
to
York.
Say it as a Carolina fan growing up. It hurts me to say it, but that was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen.
I would say the most amazing thing you ever seen in your career was the officiating at the end of your game against Villanova. Wasn't that the most incredible thing you've ever seen?
Well, my therapist says that I'm really making some strides to get past that. So thanks for bringing that up, Ron. That might have just set me back. You might have just triggered it.
I can still see. This is Robert Morris playing Villanova, and I can still see Mike Rice on the sideline. He was your boss then.
Yep.
I'll bet he still hasn't gotten over that.
Absolutely not. Every time when I see him in the summer, when I go to the Jersey Shore, somehow, some way that comes up.
Thanks, Andy. Good luck to you, man.
Andy, thank you
hey,
so
guys.
We appreciate it.
You're the best. Thank you.
You too, man.
He's fun.
He's the best, isn't he?
His memory, his recall, his knowledge of the game. A little disappointed he dismissed my Final Four before you even got it out of your mouth. But that's okay.
But he also left open that it's anybody's ball game here,
right,
which it is in college hoops this year. It's anybody's ball game.
He is fun to talk to.
Christian Laettner. I'm going to ask you about some great moments, Ron. A couple of little items to take up real quick here. Ryan Poehling is activated, yes?
Yes.
Maybe Jeff Carter will be deactivated
as an
accompanying move.
That's what I'm thinking. He can be the fourth-line center. Caulfield mentioned that yesterday with us.
And little Dr. Folsenstein tells me 3 years, $18 million for Holcomb. I'd have to see the guarantee. Like Miles Jack was 2 years for 16, but it only wound up being 1 year. So 3 years, 18, $6 million a year. I got to see guaranteed money and how long the commitment is.
And this is if he passes his physical, right?
Right. And then, we'll talk about that. Let's talk NCAA. Here we are. It's the first day. Let's talk great moments in NCAA tournament history and Pitt tournament history as we wind down here at Rivers Casino, get you ready for the PM guys. There's all kinds of things happening. West Virginia was up big, then they weren't up big, then
down,
they were trailing.
Down two at the half.
I love this day. Virginia, I just saw, was up by about eight. We got games cooking. We're at Rivers Casino. You can stop by. All the kiosks here are open 24-7, 16 of them. We just asked Andy Toole for his greatest tournament moment. He said Christian Laettner.
Yeah, it has to be.
No, it doesn't, Ron.
It has to be for me. I told the story many times. Smizek and I watched the first half of that game in Bradenton, Florida. We're covering the Pirates. We were hungry. We went to the Outback Steakhouse. We're sitting there having dinner, and all of a sudden you hear this roar. I mean, you hear roars in here. The roar that day, I can still hear it. We missed it. Laettner hit that shot. To me, that's the greatest moment.
To me, the greatest moment is Phi Slamajama going down to NC State, the epic upset, the ball that's in the air that Lorenzo Charles takes and dunks, and then the Valvano celebration.
The celebration.
It's a little above it because it has the element of upset, and it has just what is going on here.
Right.
I mean, it was an air ball that a guy dunked. Those are the two.
And the emotion of Valvano added to it, too. There's no doubt.
Those are the two for me. And things I also remember that were great nights. This one, Villanova over Georgetown. I'll never, ever forget that game. They shot 78.6% from the floor.
You talk upset. That's the biggest upset ever, right?
Questionable.
I would think it's the biggest upset ever.
Because
Patrick Ewing.
It was definitely a gigantic upset, but they had played in the regular season fairly close games. I'm not sure that NC State over Houston wasn't bigger.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe. The other one, the best game I was ever at, personally, was Scotty Reynolds and Villanova.
Yeah.
I mean, it ended poorly for Pitt, but the emotion and the back and forth in that game, it's the best game I've ever been at. I wasn't at the Laettner game. Obviously, I wasn't at the Villanova-Georgetown game. I watched that one in Bradenton, Florida, too, with Bob Hertzel, who used to cover baseball for the press.
What a game.
We watched that together. But the Pitt-Villanova game was just sensational.
Man, Villanova's been involved in a lot of these because this list I'm looking at has the Chris Jenkins last-second shot against North Carolina.
Won the title, right?
I'll tell you what might have been – what might have been the greatest moment was Gordon Hayward half-court against Duke, that shot that went off the rim. Fulzy, you with me on that? You feel me on that?
I was just thinking about that for Butler.
What's your greatest NCAA moment? Chris Webber calling timeout?
That's up there,
I was at that game. That happened right in front of me, that Webber called the timeout. Right in front of me.
I mean, you guys mentioned all of them that I was thinking of. Scotty Reynolds, as much as I hated that moment, that always springs to mind for me. How about Mario Chalmers hitting that shot at the buzzer to send it into OT in the championship game? That was big.
Who was the UCLA guy? Ty Edney?
That was incrinculent. That was great, the Ty Edney
They went
drive.
The length of the court, right?
Did you know right away what was happening with the Chris Webber situation?
I mean, you knew right away. You knew they were out of timeouts, yes. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, that Dean Smith would have mentioned it in his huddle, right? And the kid just panicked. I mean, not Dean Smith.
Fisher.
Bill Fisher would take, yeah, exactly. He had taken over for Bill Frieder.
Was that Steve Fisher.
Frieder? The guy went, that's one of the great lines in sports history. One of the greatest lines in sports history. Bill Frieder?
I think it was Frieder, yeah.
Says he's going to take, like, the Arizona State job after the season. And Bo Schembechler was the AD and said, you're gone now. And they said, why don't you let him coach? He goes, a Michigan man is going to coach the Michigan team. One of the greatest lines of all time. I don't want him.
Great.
A Michigan man is going to coach the Michigan team.
That is phenomenal.
And I'm sure that Steve Fisher mentioned it in his timeout. I mean, he would have had to.
Yeah. When I look at those documentaries, though, Ron, you can see Webber, I don't believe, has ever spoken about it. If he has, I don't know about it. And you can see people yelling from the bench, teammates, to call timeout.
Maybe then he didn't mention it.
He might have mentioned it.
That's on him instead of the coach.
I don't know, but there's a lot of mystery about that. There's a lot of
that
mystery.
That literally was right in front
play.
Of right in front of me.
That's right up there with, in terms of the most famous moments in NCAA tournament history, that's up there with Leitner, NC State, the Webber timeout is right up there.
I don't know, Joe, that I've ever heard a better quote in sports, though.
That's fantastic.
I'm not a Bo Schembechler fan. I don't like Michigan. But when we're getting rid of the guy right now. A Michigan man is going to coach the Michigan team. God, I love that.
Sometimes it's the mistakes. Like the Webber thing, Ron, that are the most memorable.
Yeah.
Remember Freddie Brown threw the ball right to North Carolina?
I do.
Feel for those guys, man. But there was also, what was the other blunder? There was another famous blunder.
Nasir Robinson had one for Pitt.
Famous one.
That is. But that wasn't in a championship game or a Final Four game.
No.
But it still was the number one seed went down.
Man, you're not kidding. And anybody who watched that, it was extremely memorable. I can't remember the other memorable mistake that happened. There have been so many, and we're going to see more this year. Oh, I know one that I'll remember. It just reminded me. Bo Kimble, after Hank Gathers passes away, Paul Westhead tells his Loyola Marymount players, you know, do you guys want to play in the tournament? They all said to a man on the spot, we do. And then they go out. They stun Michigan, the defending national champion, blew them out. And then in one of the games, I think one of the earlier games, as a tribute to Hank Gathers, Bo Kimble went up and shot the ball with his left hand.
A foul shot. A foul
shot. One of the great moments in history.
I remember it because Hank Gathers was left-handed, right?
Oh.
And Bo Kimble made that foul shot with his left hand.
Absolutely
incredible. That is tremendous.
Who's the only 16 seed to win? Has there been one? I can't remember.
Virginia got beat, right?
Yeah.
By who?
Who beat them?
Oh, it was like a Maryland team that had a bunch of names to them. I'm going to look it up.
Maryland Baltimore County or something?
Was that
something
it?
Something like
I
that,
I can't remember.
I know it was Virginia that lost.
And then
they won the NCAAs either the next year or the year before.
UMBC, year. University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
Baltimore County.
How could I not remember that? That's where my sister Bridget taught.
Baltimore County.
Why don't I know where she teaches,
Baltimore,
Ron?
Baltimore County, that's right. That's the only one.
That's the only one. When's the last time a 15 seed won in March Madness,
There's been a few of those.
Wasn't St. Peter's a 15 last year?
Were they a 15 last year?
They were
a phenomenal story. Who was the school with the famous fan who was 103 years old?
That's Sister Jean.
Yeah.
That's
Loyola Chicago.
Loyola Chicago. And she just turned 103. She's still alive. She wrote a book.
I only feel 103,
yeah,
Rob.
Yeah, me too.
I haven't turned that yet.
Oh, the Mountaineers have turned it on. They've gone up by 6 all of a sudden.
How about with St. Peter's? You forget. I forget all this stuff. St. Peter's beat Kentucky last year, 85-79. Ron, I may have some time here between now and my kid's game. I might watch the end of this Maryland game the more I think about
it. It's getting good.
It's going back and forth and back and forth. We're going to wrap it up next year. Crowley's not happy, I can tell you that.
They're up by 6. They should be happy.
Oh. Yeah, maybe he's just drunk. I don't know. All right, Folsey, we'll wrap it up next.
I can't get enough of that song.
What's Cooking brought to you by Mr. Reuter.
Thank you, Mr. Reuter.
Call 412-REUTER2 and by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Fan weather
very
brought
kindly.
To you.
Very kindly.
Very kindly. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Silverado's Colorado's back in stock with a great selection. Stop in and online at sunchevy.com. Warmer, high of 59. Our thanks to the folks at Rivers Casino. This place is awesome.
It's been a blast, hasn't it?
It's sold out right now. We got a sellout crowd, but, man, the kiosks are open 24/7. You want to get in and visit them. You can stop by the betting windows. Great place. What a great place this is. I may stick around. Now Maryland's back to within 47-41. Social media's biggest loser brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at Awaken 180. Should we just go with Malzi when all else fails?
Why not?
Congratulations to him. Those guys will be stepping in a moment.
Can't give it to Aaron Rodgers anymore.
Not till tomorrow.
Not until tomorrow, anyway.
What am I doing, Ron? Oh,
wrapping
here we
up.
Go. We're making predictions.
Hockey,
we're making predictions.
Hockey game
is what
tonight.
We're doing.
Hockey game tonight.
I'm going to go Rangers 5, Penguins 3. It's going to be a little bit of a wide open game.
No faith in Jari.
No, he hasn't earned
so
it.
So you think he's going to fish out 4 or 5? Maybe one and
five.
Empty.
Maybe an empty netter.
Maybe an empty netter.
I hope he plays well. I hope Sully's right, but I don't have a good feeling about this one.
Ryan Poehling activated. Maybe we won't see Jeff Carter. We can only hope. And Sully apparently this morning saying both Ruta and Petri are available to play tonight.
Yeah, they'll both play.
So we thought they'd be real bad shape defensively. Doesn't look like they are now.
5-4. What do you say? Rangers. No, 5-3, Rangers.
You know what? I'm gonna go down with the ship with Jari. I think he's going to find a way tonight. I think they win 4-2.
Ron, I'll see you tomorrow.
We are at Shooters tomorrow.
Who knows what story? That's right. We're at Shooters tomorrow. Who knows what stories we're going to be talking about? I bet you we'll have some controversies, some last-second finishes, a bunch of stuff to talk about, and a Pitt game to preview.
We'll have the Pitt game going. When's Penn State play? They play tonight, I think.
I don't know.
I think they're a late game tonight. West Virginia, Penn State today. Pitt tomorrow. Joe, I can't wait. It's been a blast. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 at Shooters.
At Shooters Golf in Wexford. Good night, Ron.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.